Blog Talk Radio.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
And this is Constantine for Abilene with the Sabbath Show. And you can call back in if you want to.
Thank you.
This is Constantine for Abilene with Making the Natives Restless. Would you like to purchase some advertising time here on Freedomizer Radio? Well, you're in luck. Just contact Proof Negative at proof@freedomizerradio.com. Find out how you can make the natives restless on BTR's favorite radio station, Freedomizer Radio.
Tired of sluggish internet access?
Mom, the internet's all slow again.
I'm not your mom. I'm the creature that evolved out of your mom.
Sick of unwanted spam?
Oh, another email message from my old college roommate, Rod Hughes. Oh my.
Having problems with viruses and hardware malfunctions?
Error 432, network access remote server memory allocation assessment table exceeded. Hard drive reformatting will now commence. What?
Looking for something that requires no logons, no unwanted emails, coherent sentences, no technical problems whatsoever? Read a book. Books. The original internet.
Here at Loblaws you will see, we're a happy family.
Here at Loblaws, we have a huge selection of foods, and we're happy to help you with any problems you might have.
Well, hello! Do you know where I can find the cucumbers in the lard?
No problem. That's in aisle 3.
Hi, where can I find the cocaine?
Sorry, the what?
The cocaine.
Oh, the cocaine. No problem. That's right there in aisle 5.
Sorry, mister. Where are the toys?
Yeah, we're looking for the toys.
That's in aisle 7, boys. And here you go. Here's a free toy for the both of you.
Cool. This looks exactly like cocaine.
Yeah, it really does.
What? Oh, whoops. Take this one instead.
Wow, even better.
Cool car.
So come to Loblaws now and see how great our store really is. You and Loblaws, you and me, we are one big.
All right, am I up? All right, this is Jay Constantine. I believe I have you with me, my friend. Welcome to the Sabbath Show. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Let me explain to everybody what the Sabbath Show is here on Freedomizer Radio. This is our weekly service, guys, so we can all come together in fellowship and honor the Sabbath. Now, I know there's a lot of discussion as to what day folks should celebrate the Sabbath on. Myself, I celebrate it on Saturday, but if you choose not to because of your religious faith, that's fine. That's something between you and God. So that being said, this is our church, for a better way of putting it. And the way it used to work around here was all of the hosts would take a Saturday and we would rotate and we would all host the Sabbath show. And that's something that I'd like to see come about once again, and I'm going to do my part to make that happen. Now, we've played a few audio sermons the last few weeks, and I believe there was a live show last week. And before that, me and Proof did a live show. And that was about 6 weeks ago was the last time I was live doing the Sabbath show. So I wanted to come on today and talk with my friends and my family here on Freedomizer Radio. So everyone, welcome to the Sabbath show. Constantine, do you want to give the opening prayer today, my friend?
Yeah, sorry about that. Just turning my mic back on.
Yeah, don't mute yourself. That's all right.
All right. Pray. Precious Heavenly Father, first we ask forgiveness of our sins. We come to you thanking you for all the blessings of life. Lead, guide, and direct us. Grant us wisdom that we may know is truly your will. And through the next hour and the next few days, just place your hand over us. Grant us wisdom, grant us guidance, grant us your protection. And all these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So is there anything that you wanted to get into today on the Sabbath show? Because there's a couple things that I want to get into But you being the new host around here, I want to give you an opportunity to speak a little bit on the Sabbath show and kind of get used to what we do around here.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you brought up the difference between Saturday and Sunday, if you want me to do a little historical background on that, I could do that real quick.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Now, Jewish people of the Jewish faith, and of course there's some other Christian faiths that observe Saturday as the Sabbath and as compared to Sunday. Traditionally speaking, if you were an Israelite, Saturday would be the day that you would observe as being the Sabbath. It's a little difficult. It's a little different the way that Jews specifically do when a day ends and a day begins, because the day begins at 6 o'clock in the evening. So it's sundown basically, and so it's a difference. It's a difference in culture. You know, from my perspective, it just says, you know, keep the Sabbath holy. So whichever day that you choose to see the Sabbath, because you could say that it is either on Saturday or Sunday, depending on where you look at the beginning of when the day begins, it's certainly up to you, and I would be certainly in agreement with Jay on that point. So go ahead, Jay, with what you had planned.
Oh, you know, I was just going to get into the Ten Commandments today. I know everybody's saying, oh, the Ten Commandments. But I think it's important for us to go over them from time to time and talk about what they truly mean. Also, if there's time, I'd like to get into some of the good news that is contained in the book of the Revelation. So,
oh, yes, and Shalom and Rakah.
Yeah, Shalom. Shalom. All right, everybody, I am going to read from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, one thing I want to say about the Bible. To me, personally, I don't care which Bible you read from. I belong to the Russ Dizdar school of thought on that. Many, many different versions of the Bible have led people to Jesus. So I'm not going to tell you which Bible to read. I read the King James Version. That's my personal preference. And whatever you read is your personal preference. Would you agree with that statement, Constantine?
Yeah, sure. You know, something that I personally think, you know, if you're going to Bible studies, is usually what I do is I read about three different versions. And just make sure that, you know, because it is a matter of interpretation, and let's face it, it wasn't written in Old English. The Bible originally, the Old Testament, of course, the Torah and the Talmud, that kind of thing, were written in Hebrew. And much of the Greek, most of the New Testament was either written in Hebrew or Greek. So unless, of course, you're reading it directly from that, and I'm not really fluent in either one of those, you know, you're having to rely on a translation. So I think it's just a question of diligence. You know, it's just my personal opinion. But if you're really trying to understand what God's trying to say to you, you know, spend a little bit of extra time and take a look at a couple of different translations of the verse, especially if you're, you know, and also try reading the verse in context. Because if you just read one line and you don't read the situation that it's talking about, you know, sometimes, you know, the meaning can be a little convoluted. Do you agree with that, Jay?
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. But like I said, I don't think the book that you read from, as long as it's the Holy Bible, I don't think that's a salvation issue.
I really don't think so either. I mean, like I said, God knows what's in your heart, and I think the most important thing is it is written, of course, that faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So if you're seeking Him, He knows what's in your heart. The important fact I think is sure, you need to get it right. But, you know, ultimately the fact that you're being diligent and you're seeking His word and seeking Him is really the thing that's of paramount importance.
Right. I agree. All right. So I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 20, and that's where the Ten Commandments begin. So, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in, or that, I'm sorry, that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord hath given thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So I believe that covers it for the Ten Commandments. Now, one thing I would like to get into is about coveting your neighbor's goods, basically. We see a lot of that going on. It's always keeping up with the Joneses, and that is a form of coveting something. You see something that somebody has, and you either have to get theirs, or you go out and get one similar to it. I believe that is a way to covet. Also, most of the commandments are pretty self-explanatory. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, that is very explanatory. Also, commit adultery. I think most of you know what that means. Thou shalt not steal. And that means anything, stealing anything. If somebody gives you, for an example, if somebody gives you too much change in the store, it is your duty to correct that mistake if you know about it. If not, that's considered stealing. I'm not here to preach to anyone.
Yeah, sins of omission are a different topic altogether, but yeah, I would certainly agree with you in that case.
Right. Also, I just want to put some clarity into the Ten Commandments. So, Constantine, is there anything that you'd like to say about the Ten Commandments?
Just one thing. There is, of course, when they talk about thou shalt not kill, there are a couple of different ways that you can interpret that. And the word might be interpreted, some way people perceive this way, is thou shalt not commit murder. Now, for instance, there were several dozen times in the Old Testament where God, one way or another, commands people to go to war, commands things, that kind of circumstance. I think that the way that the original text would read and it implies is murder, which is different from killing, because sometimes unfortunately the taking of another life can be justified.
I agree.
Some people will contend that, and some people get pretty hotly contended for that. But the thing is God, here's my personal opinion upon the way that you can interpret that, either the literal way or the figurative way. If God is the same, it's written that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. So if God is always the same, one of the best ways to tell if you're understanding a Bible verse correctly, if it seems a little confusing to you, God doesn't contradict his own words. Now, of course, when you're talking about people that translate the Bible into other things, and something, might not have been translated correctly. That's a total different issue here. You know, that's the actions of men. I'm talking about God here, okay? And that needs to be you need to understand the difference there. But the thing is when you deal with God, he's not going to go against his word. God keeps it, keeps his promises. So if God says, don't kill anybody ever, and if that was his intent by that commandment, then he would have later said, for instance, to go attack this town and kill the people that were residing there.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying there, Jay?
Yeah, I do agree with you on that. It's all in the translation.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was done with the Ten Commandments. We'll get into the Book of Revelation a little bit later if there's something that you want to go over. I know you do your own worship show, so you're pretty well-versed in topics. So go ahead.
Relatively well, so.
Go ahead and have a run at it, and we'll get back to the Book of the Revelation in a few minutes.
Okay. As for my perception of coveting, that doesn't mean, wanting somebody else, wanting what they have specifically. If you want a gift that's specifically given to somebody else, I believe is what that particular thing is talking about. I don't think there's anything wrong. And in fact, I think it's probably God's will for you to desire a better life for yourself, to desire a better life and better circumstances for you and your family, to want security, to want to have a better home, to want a better job. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what coveting is. Coveting is like out of jealousy, wanting it because, in other words, wanting to have a nice car like the Joneses have, it's not so necessarily wrong. Wanting the car that the Joneses have because it used to belong to somebody else, like, for instance, if you're involved, like something I see is like when somebody passes away and the family members start fighting over possessions and stuff like that, there's a lot of coveting going on there. Now, it's not necessarily wrong to want something that somebody that has passed has left behind, but, to get hatred in your heart and despise somebody in your heart because they got something, especially if that person specifically left that possession in their will, would be a good example, I think, of what this commandment was trying to talk about. You agree with that, Jay?
Actually, yeah, I do. I did misspeak a little. Thank you for clearing that up for me, Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to express basically what you what you were expressing about coveting. It's okay to want something nice, but to actually want that one. And the same thing goes for your neighbor's wife. You don't. That was the point I was going to try to get to kind of make your point that you made for me. It goes along with coveting your neighbor's wife, and that means basically lusting after her in particular. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nothing wrong with admiring a beautiful woman, but when it goes beyond
God gave us attraction to people of the opposite sex. To a certain degree, it's normal. But, when you sit there and want it specifically because it's that person, that's where the problem comes.
Exactly. When it goes into lust, that's where you have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
the kind of sin that comes in your mind, those are the tough kind. It's obvious, if you go out and kill somebody, that's pretty cut and dry, But sometimes, you can't help so much. But there is also a Bible verse that says that a sin undone dies unborn. So just because you perceive or are tempted, in other words, we're dealing with temptation. If you're tempted to do something but you don't act upon it, then it's not necessarily a sin because. You're a human being. You're going to be tempted to do things that, aren't right and that aren't right. And anybody that says, they're not tempted by anything, I don't think they're very honest. So, you know, that's part of life, you know, to admire somebody and to be physically attracted to somebody to some greater, lesser or greater extent certainly is normal. But, you know, don't act on it. Don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. Put it out of your head. You know, you can't help what you think in a moment's time. But, you know, it's talking, I think what it's talking about there is pondering upon it. You know, in other words, it's like, did I break the Ten Commandments because I saw my new neighbor's wife and she's looking good, you know? And, you know, I mean, I'm a man, you know, I'm not even in my 40s yet. I'm attracted to other women, you know, but that doesn't mean that, you know, being attracted to her isn't necessarily a sin. But if I sit there for a couple of weeks thinking, God, man, she's so good looking, you know, and right. I think that's where the difference remains.
Yeah. Did you see there's a question in the chat room from Rusty? Maybe we can try and answer that for him.
Let's see. Read it to me real quick.
Explain to me why the sons are responsible for the sins of the father.
Well, here's the thing about covenants. God makes covenants with certain people. Like, for instance, God made a covenant with – now, this is doctrinal stuff, so this is my perception. So don't literally, no pun intended, take this as gospel. This is just the way I perceive it, okay, folks? Disclaimer over. But when you talk about covenants, God made a covenant, for example, with Abraham, who used to be Abram. And the thing is Ishmael, who is the predecessor to pretty much anybody that's going to be an Arab, you know, Palestinians, for example, was the first son of Abraham. And, you know, and of course, you know, his other son being second, of course, eventually, you know, it caused a lot of tension between the two. There was a lot of jealousy and infighting. But the thing is the covenant God made was to all his offspring. So there are some people that, you know, if you go and hate on people that are of the Muslim faith who are also, you know, descendants of Abraham, you know, you're showing the same hatred towards them that have the same covenant to some degree of being as numbered like the stars in the sky, the sands on a beach, for instance, that the Jews have from that sense. So the thing is, you know, did he turn from the tribe of Dan? Sure. Has he turned from the descendants of Ishmael? Possibly to some extent. But the thing is, he has kept his covenant that the descendants of Abraham will multiply and multiply greatly. So that would be an example of how something could be passed on. Now, the sins of the father, you know, one of the things that I perceive, the way that you can perceive that, is parents teach their children bad habits. And like I said, you're not necessarily responsible for what your parents have done to a certain extent. But the thing is, you know, like I've talked about when you involve politics and religion are somewhat the same in the fact that most people are likely to have religious views that their parents did. Most people are, just like most people, are likely to have similar political views as their parents did. And I think especially in the Old Testament times, if you didn't have the kind of access to information like you do today, and your culture that you were brought up with teaches their children that it's okay to sacrifice babies, and you brought up to believe that's the right thing to do. I think that is kind of what it talks about when it talks about those kind of things. Now, what do you think about that, Jay?
Yeah, I'm right along with you on that one.
Now, you know, as far as what God chooses to do and what God doesn't choose to do, you know, I know this sounds kind of simplistic, but I mean, I think there's really some truth to it. Thing is I have never supposed to understand the mind of God. Because I think if you really understand how vast the mind of God must be, you'll also understand that there's no way that you could possibly fathom it. Because I don't know what's in other people's hearts. Sometimes I don't even know what's in my heart. for sure until, you know, I think about it for a little while. You never know anybody else's intention. Only God knows that. Sometimes you just have to put your trust in him and know that he knows best because he's got inside information. Well, frankly, he's got inside information.
No, I was just going to say always. Have. You always put your trust in him.
Nobody always does anything. You should always put your trust in. But what I'm saying is as human beings, sure, we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. That's part
do.
Of life.
Yeah, we all
you
do.
Don't use it. Don't use that as an excuse. You know, when you figure it out, step up. But you know, there are some people that believe that after they become saved, they believe in what's called sanctification. That means basically you sin no more. Well, that's where I would disagree with my brothers on that one. You know, there are a few instances where it talks about people in the Bible become sanctified. But that's only because God makes you to where you don't sin anymore. Like, for instance, David, after he got in all the trouble with Bathsheba and the adultery and all that business, but he repented, it said that he sinned no more and became sanctified. But other than that, you're a sinner. You are going to fall short. But the thing is the important thing is you know, do you go back to dad's house? You know, just like the story of the prodigal son, for instance, you know, you may go on for a little while, but I trust you, God is sitting there watching, and he'll see you coming back from a mile off, you know, and when you come back, he'll greet you with open arms. Anyway, go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry. I took two.
No,
took
that's all, that's okay. I enjoy listening to you preach. Unfortunately, I don't get a chance to hear it as often as I'd like to. But
neither do I, because I don't preach very much.
Good stuff, Constantine. Good stuff. Okay, before I get into the book of the Revelation, I want to speak a little bit about forgiveness. And in the spirit of forgiveness, moving on, not holding a grudge. And there seems to be a lot of that going on, especially with folks that, there's a lot of that going on where it just seems that people cannot, either they choose not to forgive and move on and hold a grudge. And for anyone listening that has that type of sin in their life, I implore you to take it to God and lay it at his feet. That is a sin that can fester in your soul.
It'll destroy you. I've struggled with that all my life. As a person that's an activist, I can speak to that personally. There's some times, man, where I have a really hard time. You know, generally speaking, I'm not a very judgmental person. But there's a few things, and I tell you what, man, I have a really, really hard time forgiving some people because the thing is I try to take on God's job. You know what God's job is God is punishing. God's job is punishing another being. You know, I mean, his job is to make sure that justice comes right. So, my friends, for those of you who do have a problem with that, let me give you some advice and something that I've observed. It's written that a man's sins shall judge themselves. Well, what does that mean? Now, I was called September 2nd, 1997, and I wasn't ordained until just recently. That's a long time. It was a long time from my perspective. It's probably a long time for a lot of people's perspective. The thing is God's time and your time aren't always going to match up. You know, I mean, I thought, you know, within a week or so, I'm ready to go. But the thing is there's a lot of times that those hard things happen to you and you go through those things in life for a reason. It's because it prepares you for things. You know, I say, for instance, you know, any time that life gives you a bitter pill to swallow, what you need to do is learn from the experience because, yeah. You know, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger.
Amen.
That's not
really,
the Bible.
No, but yeah. I'd like to share a couple of personal experiences.
Sure.
That have brought me closer to God.
Okay. Let me finish this thought then, and I'll let you go. Go on with that. But, the thing is when you have that bitter pill to swallow, the thing is learn from it, become a better person, and allow it to strengthen you allow it to educate you, and allow it to not allow you to make the same kind of mistake again. And you know what that bitter pill becomes? It becomes a pearl of wisdom. Now, sometimes a little pearl of wisdom may not seem like it was worth all the pain that you had to do, because you have to digest that a long time if you're in an oyster. You know, an oyster makes a pearl because it sits in there and it festers inside of you, and it exudes this thing that's around whatever's causing it, and it becomes beautiful. But the thing is those pearls start to add up, and eventually you can string those pearls around your neck, and they can become a mantle for you, and they can give you strength, and they can give you the ability to come on radio at the moment's notice and talk about that subject because you have experience. Thank you, Jay, for giving me that chance to explain that one.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me. This is really nice. I still haven't done a Sabbath show by myself, because I'm afraid that I will stumble and run out of things to say. But I know that's not possible. God is putting the words in my mouth. But a couple of things that I do want to say about, going back to what you said about it's not our timing, it's God's timing, and it doesn't always match up. I'm a true testament to that. There was a lot of things in my life that happened that made me what I am and who I am now. And it was a hard struggle. And every time these terrible events happened, and they were all by my own hand, or I enabled them to happen, or I allowed them to happen, my first question was always, why me? Why me, God? And
why does it always have to be so hard? Why does it always have to be so hard?
Exactly.
I'm right there with you, brother.
Looking back on it now, all of these things that happened to me happened for a reason, and the reason was to make me a stronger person, not only in myself, but to draw me closer to my Father, my Heavenly Father. And it took me years to realize that. And it's true. His timing isn't our timing. You know, you can pray and ask and pray, and you might not get the response that you're hoping for, but He will always respond, and you have to believe and trust that whatever He does is for your benefit, whether at the time it's something bad that you have to go through or whether it's something good. It's all up to Him, and I'm just thankful that He found me at a young enough age to where I was able to become the man that I am now, because I was a hellraiser. I didn't really put much thought into my salvation once I got out of the church. So I just wanted to say that, just to dovetail on what you were saying, that the timing is not about us. It's never about us. And once everyone realizes that, then they can look a little deeper into things that have happened in their life and maybe come up with the same conclusion that I did, that it was all for the best. And if I had a chance to go back and change any of it, there's a lot of things I would love to change. But would I? No. Because I wouldn't be the person I am now.
You know, that reminds me of something that I think that would be really, really a godsend to people that are listening to, because it falls right into what you're saying. In other words, brother, you mind if I back you up?
Go ahead.
I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. Yet I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all of these things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all these things. In the end, I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. And now I have the wisdom to know that I'm among all men most richly blessed. This prayer was reported to be found on the body of a Confederate soldier whose limbs had been amputated and passed away. Brothers and sisters, it's written across my heart. It's called the Confederate Soldier's Prayer, if you ever want to look that up.
Yeah, that's a beautiful prayer. I have heard that before. That's great. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Okay, I did want to get into the book of the Revelation, if we had time, but it doesn't look like we have but maybe 17 minutes left, so I will save that for another time. And I'll be back doing a Sabbath show again very soon. And I think you will too, Constantine. I don't want to speak for you, but this is a special opportunity we have. That, all through the week, we don't talk enough about our salvation. And this is a great opportunity for all of us to come together, regardless of faith or religion. We all come together right now just for fellowship and to be closer to the Father.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that a lot of times, you know, of course, in the Bible it says, you know, forsake ye not the fellowship of other believers. You know, I mean, and I understand, and trust me, I can certainly relate to those people who have problems with organized religion and big churches that, you know, do this, do that, and the other. But the thing is you still have to remember, that's the actions of people. And be very careful before you equate what men do, you know, for what God is and what God stands for. Because the thing is, you know, I guarantee you, I promise you, friends, you know, I'm not a perfect person. And if you put your trust in me, I'm eventually going to disappoint you. All men do.
Amen.
All men do, brothers and sisters. The only person that you can ever really put your trust in is Jesus Christ. And if, you know, if you haven't taken him as Lord and Master of your life, you need to do that. You know, will you choose today? You should. But the thing is, it comes a matter of time. You know, it's your choice. It's your life. You can do with it what you want. But, you know, if he's calling you, you know, you need to answer.
Amen. Amen. I want to share a brief story about an experience of mine when I was younger. And then before we go, Con, I want to say the closing prayer, but also I would like to ask you if you would offer the sinner's prayer before we go.
Sure, no problem.
All right, let me get into this story real quick, because it just goes to show how wonderful and miraculous God is. All right, so this was the situation when I was a young man. Very heavy drinker. I used to drink and drive without giving it a second thought, and there was warnings from my family, from my friends about this, and I knew I had a problem. So basically, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed for some help in getting me to stop drinking. And this is the funny part. My prayers were answered. Amen. It wasn't the exact response that I wanted. What had happened is I was in a drunk driving accident caused by me, and it did cause me to stop drinking for 6 years because of that. And like I said, just because you ask and pray for something, you're not always going to get the response that you were wanting, but it's definitely the response that's needed. And whether you agree with it or not, I didn't at the time. But looking back on it now, I thank God that he was able to answer that prayer.
Amen.
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 That was a very brief summarization of what happened. And there's been other instances in my life, too, where I asked for things or prayed for things. I don't like to use the word ask because God is not a magic genie that you can rub a lamp and get wishes from. So
he's not a spiritual bellhop, folks. He'll carry your bags for you for a while, but he's going to eventually. He's going to want that tip.
Right, yeah. So forgive me for saying ask. There's other times in my life where I prayed for things that I knew that I needed to pray for, and I didn't get the response that I wanted. But the response was definitely what was needed.
Mm-hmm. It's all things go to the glory of the Lord, to those who love Him. Seek ye and ye shall find. You know, sometimes you have to have a little bit of faith, but I think you'll find in the long run, and you may not understand it at the time, but eventually there will come that day when you will see the wisdom in it, and you'll thank God. It's like that song by Garth Brooks, "Sometimes I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." You know, sometimes one of the best things that your mom and dad ever did for you is say no. One of the best things that they ever did is give you a paddling when you needed it. You know, one of the things I've said is, you know, the thing is Jesus is also your friend. And sometimes when I'm cocky and I'm being a jerk, one of the very best things that ever happened to me is when a personal friend of mine broke my nose and beat the tar out of me. Because the thing is sometimes you need an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, you know, you do.
Sometimes you get too big for your britches, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, definitely.
Personally, I'm going through a lot of hard things right now. But the thing is all I can say is all these things will go to the glory of the Lord. The thing is I may not always like what happens then. But the thing is I praise God. And let me tell you why, folks, because there will come a day when I thank Him for it, because it will make me stronger. Not because
Amen.
It's for me so much,
Amen.
But it will be able to help someone else. And that's the whole thing. You know, there's nothing wrong, like I said, there's nothing wrong with wanting things for you. But, you know, if you really have the heart for God, you'll look at things like they do. Like, for instance, the word samurai, if you're familiar with the Japanese samurai, it means servant. And to really be the best leader, you need to be a servant. You need to put away narcissism. You need to put away self-righteousness. It says that God opposes those who have haughty eyes, who have high opinions of themselves. The thing is, sometimes, you know, it's okay to be proud of your responsibilities, but just don't rest on your laurels. Always grow, always expand, always try to learn something new. You know, God teaches us that that one of the worst things you can do is either be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Either be who you are or don't be who you are. But don't be lukewarm.
If thy were lukewarm, he'd spew you out of his mouth. He does not want you to be lukewarm.
Anyway, back to you, Jake.
Oh, no, go right ahead, Constantine. We've got about 8 minutes to go here. So let's start wrapping it up here. Let me ask you a question, since we're on the subject. Do you have a personal favorite book in the Bible?
Personal favorite book in the Bible probably would be the book of Jude. A lot of people think Jude is Judas, but actually Jude was supposedly... No, not Romans, but Jude is the book of the Bible that I like the best, because Jude was the brother of Jesus. And it's one of the shortest books in there, but it talks about how to be humble, how to deal with other people, how to deal with strife and that kind of thing. It's not necessarily also when I was younger, it's just because it's the shortest one, I can finish it the quickest. But the thing is I'm not Catholic, but Jude is the patron saint of lost, impossible, and difficult causes. And I don't know if I'm particularly called to preach or not. The thing is I've always been given a heart for those people that other people said, you know, you're not lost. Because let me tell you something, my friends. In 1996, I was hit by a car. And I couldn't walk for about a year. I lost pretty much everything. And a good man, and a lot of people didn't get along with me very well, because, you know, I was ADD, I drank, I was hard to get along with, frankly. And I was in such a bad state, literally, that I had nowhere else to go. I was renting a storage building for $36 a month that I lived in. And a good man for whatever reason, saw something in me, you know, that sometimes even I don't see today. And he took me out of that situation, let me come into his home, and helped me get back into health. The thing is, you know, it's written, I believe, it's written when the prophet Samuel came to look for the new king of Israel, that he came and looked at all the sons of Jesse, you know. And in his mind, he saw the oldest of the sons. He said, surely that's man. But in his heart said, God said, no, I've rejected him. For God, men see what's on the outside of men, but God sees what's in your heart. And even if people tell you all these things about what you can't do, what can't be done, and what's impossible, well, let me tell you something, my friends, because I've seen it happen through myself and through other people. You show me an impossible situation, brothers and sisters, and I'll show you a God who will prove you wrong.
Amen. Amen. Always. He does. He will. He has. That's great.
And you can argue with me if you want to. You know, that's,
right.
That's okay.
Right. You know, I agree. All right. Okay, what I'd like to do now, because we're almost at the end of the show here, I believe we've got 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. I want to offer a closing prayer, and then after that, mm-hmm. I'd like you to offer the sinner's prayer, and mm-hmm. we will sign off. All right, so Heavenly Father, I want to thank you all. I want to thank you for having us all come together today to praise you, to honor the Sabbath. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us the strength to go out and tell everybody the good news about your Son, Jesus Christ, how he died for us on the cross. Father, I ask that you open up ears that might not have been open to hear in the past. And above all else, I pray and I ask you that you give us the strength to live our lives to make you proud of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for that, Jay. And of course, let me finish off with the sinner's prayer. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer, asking for forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son, and that he died for me on the cross at Calvary that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life. Because your word is truth, I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, friends, if you prayed that prayer for me, you've got something to do. You need to tell somebody. Tell me, tell Jay, tell somebody. Because you need to confess before men the decision that you made. Because if you're ashamed of God, or if you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, he will be ashamed of you. So tell somebody. I can encourage you to surround yourself with believers. If that means getting involved in a local church, I strongly recommend that. But even if you don't do that, at least get around other people that are Christians. And because you have some things that you need to learn. You're just a baby. You've just been born. But the thing is what's important is you've been born again. You've been washed clean. And need somebody to help wipe off. Because you still got a few things that are hanging around you that you're going to need some help to understand.
Amen. Amen.
So surround yourself with those good people and talk to us. And if there's anything I can ever do to help anybody else out, I'll always do it with love. Can't speak for anybody else up here. But I certainly would be happy to talk with you anytime that anybody needs it.
That's great, brother. Thank you so much. And, what a great job you did today on the Sabbath show. I'm honored to share the show with you. And I'm honored that everybody has joined us today. And I look forward to seeing each and every one of you and more back here next Saturday for our Sabbath service. Thank you all, and God bless you all. Constantine, is there anything else you'd like to say before we play the song and I'll get out of here?
Well, the only thing I have to say is if anybody likes my delivery, I give all the glory to the Lord because it's only through him that I'm able to give this message because I'm not a very good public speaker. So to him goes all the glory.
Amen. Amen. All right, everyone, that wraps it up for the Sabbath show for this Saturday. Live as God would want you to live. Make him proud of you. And that's all I got to say for tonight. Stick around for Constantine, for Abilene, and my friend Constantine. If you need a little backup in the second hour of the show, I'll be back around in about an hour, 10 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right, everyone. I'm going to play this song, and when this is over, it's your show, my brother.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you all.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the
heart.
This is Constantine Farabling with Making the Natives Restless. Would you like to purchase some advertising time here on Freedomizer Radio? Well, you're in luck. Just contact Proof Negative at proof@freedomizerradio.com. Find out how you can make the natives restless on BTR's favorite radio station, Freedomizer Radio.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Join me, Mr. Britt, on the Mr. Britt Show on Freedomizer Radio every Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 9 p.m. Central European Time. I'll cover the stories in a way the mainstream media doesn't.
Hey you, listening to the show. Have you thought about having your own show? Wondering what you have to do to become a freedomist? How about sending an application to Freedomizer Radio? Freedomizer Radio is debuting a new show, so who's the next Freedomizer? Submit an email to proof@freedomizerradio.com, and maybe you have what it takes to be the next Freedomizer. So who's the next Freedomizer starts Tuesday, August 17th, and will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. Right here on Freedomizer Radio. Good luck, hopeful freedomist.
Welcome to Making the Natives Restless, Blog Talk Radio Show produced by Constantine for Abilene. Now here's Ron.
Hey everybody, it's Constantine Farabelline here with Making the Natives Restless. And Making the Natives Restless, what is it about? Well, it's me, your host, Constantine Farabelline. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you how to make the natives restless. Now, that making people restless sometimes has a negative connotation, but that's not what this show is about. It's about making a positive impact. So, if you're a rebel with a cause, if you're an activist, if you're a crusader for what you believe is true and right, most importantly, you have experience, and as a listener, if you want to help our listeners learn how to basically stand up and be more effective in whatever way that is your experience and that you're willing to teach us, you know, we want you on our show. And coming up here in a few minutes, I'm going to have a guest here, and she's going to talk to you about how to market your. And as I'm waiting for her to call in, I'll go over a couple of things that I've heard recently in the news here in the last couple of days. I heard that this Tea Party person beat somebody who was running for the Republican nomination in Delaware. Yeah, thank you for that. In Delaware. And, something I've noticed over the last couple of years is, one of the problems the Republican Party has had is because they don't reach out their hands enough to the to other people that want to vote with them. And frankly, I've always kind of thought that when you go out and vote and you're trying to win an election, frankly, whether you like it or not, it's a popularity contest. In other words, folks, you're from West Texas. Most people get the most votes. Well, they win. So I think that when somebody does win the nomination and the Republican Party did like they did, said that they're not going to support the candidate because they're a rhino. I don't know, man. That's just not something that I necessarily agree with, because you call them a rhino or a dino or you call somebody else any other kind of name, that's just not the way you should treat somebody, because they're going to vote with you. If you are a Democrat, you're a Republican, you certainly want them probably more than you're going to want a Democrat. But looks like we've got somebody with their hand up. Hello?
Good afternoon, Ron.
Hi, Christy. And what I'm going to do is I'll allow my guest to introduce themselves, and she can. Hold on just a second. Hello, are you there? Hello? And it looks like we're having some technical difficulties. So while I'm waiting for her to call back in, I've got some information that I received from the Texas Motorcycle Rights Association. It's called the 5 Steps to Freedom. And I'm going to read this off to you. I thought it was pretty good information. It says there are 5 Steps to Freedom. First, you need to register to vote. Before you can have any input in the political process, you must become a registered voter. Registering is easy and it's free. To qualify as a registered voter, you must be 18 years of age, a U.S. citizen, and a resident of the county in which you register. The Texas Ethics Code, Section 13001A4, allows that a convicted felon may petition for reinstatement of voting rights 2 years after having satisfied their judgment to the court. Contact your voter registrar at a local courthouse or call the Secretary of State's office for details. So I would encourage you, all of you, even if you in your local state, even if you've made some mistakes, or even if you're young and you think your vote won't count, go vote. It's your right. It's your privilege. You can think about that. Of course, you can pick up voter registration card at any courthouse or a post office in and fill out all necessary information and drop it in any mailbox where the mail is retrieved. Of course, no postage is necessary. Okay, you must be duly registered 30 days prior to an election to be eligible to vote in that election. Upon the receipt of your voter card, you'll need four pieces of information. Your precinct number will be on the card. Each county is divided into voting precincts. The location for voting in each precinct will be published in your local paper or can be found at the local courthouse prior to each election. Except in special cases, the location will generally remain the same. Now, it's not necessary to re-register as long as you vote at least once each 2 years or don't move. The other three bits of information you may or may not be on, excuse me, the other three bits of information may or may not be on your voter certificate. The state of Texas is divided into 150 state representatives. If this information isn't on your voter certificate, it can be found at your local courthouse. Now, the reason why I'm reading this for Texas, of course, is the Texas Association, but it applies to many other states. Each state is also represented by two U.S. senators. You must then learn the name, address, and the phone number, both local and capital office, of each of these people. They're the ones to contact when you have any questions or requests concerning political happenings. They're the ones who's going to vote for or against each 2 or 4 years, as the case may be. There are four elected officials. These four elected officials are the ones who will vote on issues for you personally. It is also a good idea to get the same information for your county precinct chair for each party. For some reason, we're having some technical difficulties getting my caller in. So if anybody wants to call in and has anything to say about any questions or just wants to call in and make some comments, feel free to call in. Looks like I'm not going to be able to get her back on, but I'll try. Anyway, if we have any callers, certainly feel free to call in. Now that after you become a registered voter, you have the names and addresses and the phone numbers of people that you deal with in order to be politically effective, you need to act on it. Congratulations, you've completed step one. It has a cost to you that consists of a little bit of time, no real money, and probably is one of the biggest decisions you've made during this lifetime. You're now in a position to truly have a say in political future of your city, country, state, and county. Now, it's imperative that you become familiar with the voting record of the people who support you and serve your needs at both the state and, of course, the federal level. It's important for a citizen to be involved in the political scene, and it's now time to put that knowledge to work and take advantage of your information and the gathering of that information that you can get from these people. Now, what you need to do next is get out and meet with your neighbors. There's a saying, good fences make good neighbors. Open your gate and your barbecue pit if you want. Let your neighbors be your friend. Explain your goals and ask for their support to become the delegate. You know, offer transportation to the polls, even if it means you using your own car to do it with. Now, and you can vote in the primary of your choice. Now, when you sign in to get your ballot, ask for the time and place of the caucus meeting. They're not going to volunteer this information in most states. If it's convenient, it's best to vote close to the closing time so you won't have to return later. Now, after the closed polls, they have what's called a caucus meeting. And what will happen in these caucus meetings is they decide who is going to represent your voting precinct on a county, state, and perhaps even a national level if you get voted up to be that high. And this is what's going to happen in your caucus meetings. First, they'll call the meeting to order at the appointed time, hopefully, by the precinct, by the presiding precinct chair. Preparation of a list of all qualified participants in attendance. Obviously, those who voted in the primary are qualified. Then they'll make an announcement of the agenda and the basic rules and procedures. So you need to kind of know that. Otherwise, don't volunteer to be a precinct captain. Then, after that, begins the nomination election of temporary office of the precinct meeting. This is where you need to bring in your friends. Then the announcement of the time, location of the county or district meetings and temporary meetings if they're known. Then the nomination and election of delegates to the county or district convention, whatever the case may be, in your precinct will begin. Now, if the number present is less than the number of delegates and alternates needed, names can be picked from a list of those who voted. The above is usually the case. That's why your participation is so important. In other words, generally speaking, more people will be allowed to become a delegate up to a higher level than actual people are there to volunteer. Know which, if any, of your supporters voted but were unable to make the caucus, and get them appointed as delegates if you think that they'd be interested. It's probably not a good idea to nominate somebody that you know is not going to want to do it. Don't make this a joke. Don't make this a surprise on somebody. Some people might get offended by that kind of thing, or it might drive somebody away who's kind of teetering on the fence and maybe a little bit reluctant to join you. Now, when you're in the caucus meeting, they'll have resolutions. The caucus chair will ask the floor for any resolutions to be considered for the county convention. Of course, usually there's a list of resolutions that will be prepared in advance, and they'll usually pass out copies. So if you want to make resolutions, you need to do so before the voting day, basically. Now, what you need to do is you need to raise your hand, say, "Mr. Chairman, I have," and say how many resolutions to be entered for our precinct. Each resolution will be read, seconded, and voted upon. When your people will have the same resolutions in each precinct if you're with an organization, so don't panic if some of them don't pass. Note the source of opposition for future reference, because if you know why something didn't pass, then next time the thing comes along, if you're in it for the long haul, you can address that. And after all resolutions are introduced and voted and all announcements made, the meeting will adjourn. And it's generally less than an hour, but it depends on, you know, where you are and how many resolutions you have. The county or district convention is a miniature state convention. The committees have been chosen and will do their work. The number of delegates from each precinct will be announced, and the precinct delegates will each elect their delegates for the state convention. I've actually been I was very honored to be nominated and attended a state convention as a delegate. The resolutions passed at this convention shall move forward to be covered at the state convention. The state convention is the culmination of this whole process. This will be 3 days of hard work and glorious pleasure as a payment for all these years of hard work that you've had. I will make one point out that libertarians don't caucus. They have another way. They don't have primaries. So this only applies to the Republican and Democratic Party. Now, step two, you get acquainted. It's now time to make use of the information that you've gathered. Elected officials are normal people and cannot be expected to have all the answers. They depend on their constituents to keep them informed. That's you. So today, most of the information comes from paid lobbyists, unfortunately. But you can change that situation. What they'll do is they'll look more favorably on a friend than somebody that's paid to influence their vote, at least hopefully anyway. What you need to do is sit down and write a letter to each of your elected officials that have an effect on the issues that concern you. And you need to start at a district and start on a local level, you know, and then work your way up. That's my opinion. Your letter should be handwritten, either that or you need to send an email. But no more than one page to cover only one subject. You know, anytime you deliver a speech, it's my opinion, you know, it should be like a woman's dress. Long enough to cover the subject, my friends, but short enough to keep it interesting. And, of course, if anybody has questions, you know, feel free to call in. If anybody wants to make any comments or corrections, please feel free. My lines are open. And let's see, where was it? Oh, yeah. You can pick a current subject in which you're interested, and you need to identify yourself and how you feel about the issue and why. And then you can ask how they see the issue and ask for a response if that's applicable. Something I would suggest, though, is don't call them stupid. Don't call people names. Be nice. You know, one of the best things you can do, even if you disagree with your elected officials, is try to keep on their good side. Somebody's going to much more likely to help you out if you're being nice to them than telling them they're a stupid idiot and questioning their integrity or, you know, one of my favorite sayings is, you know, when you're being investigated by the police, or if you've been pulled over by a highway patrolman, that's not really the best time to question the marital status of his parents upon their conception. I think you probably get where I'm going there. Here's an example of something that you could write if you're interested in motorcycle causes. Dear Senator X, I'm an avid motorcyclist, but both my spouse and I drive automobiles also. I'm quite disturbed by the current push for no-fault insurance in Texas. Everything I've been able to learn about this subject is negative. It appears to me that drivers with good driving records, especially those who ride motorcycles, would be unfairly treated under such a plan. Hawaii and Canada have both replaced their no-fault as being too costly. I would like to know how you feel on this issue and how you would vote on the issue should it come before you in the next session. If you would support no fault, I would like to know your feelings for doing so, and I await your reply. Respectfully, John Doe. If you're a veteran, give your registration number and plug in that kind of thing. You know, if you've served the country, a lot of people will put that kind of thing into consideration. Also, if you're a doctor, if you have advanced degrees, master's degrees, a doctorate, if you're an attorney, anything like that. That's the kind of thing you should probably consider. Can everybody out there in the chat room still hear me? I hope I'm not putting everybody to sleep and I'm just speaking good. Anyway, if you're, like, for instance, if your interests are primarily motorcycle related, it'd be good to list any motorcycle club or rights organizations that you belong to, for example. That would establish your standing for them in the future. Each elected official should receive at least one letter per month. I know that sounds like a lot, but the thing is if you repeat yourself, and you send in the information, then know that you're serious and it's not just a one-hit kind of wonder sort of thing. You can comment on quotes they've made to the media or action to take on a specific issue. And watch out for announced meetings that the official will attend and be there. There's nothing like seeing somebody in the flesh if you're going to make an impact. You know, there's something about interpersonal contact with somebody. When you get somebody to look in the eye, they're a lot more likely to take what you have to say seriously. Okay? Introduce yourself at the first meeting and make it a point to be certain that they're aware of your presence at all future meetings. But be nice. You know, don't miss an opportunity to praise any official when they performed well. You know, don't just complain when they do wrong. Let them know when you like it with the job that they're doing. The best way to do this is through letters to the editor of your local newspaper, as well as contacting the local media. These papers are read by the officials and his staff each morning, likely, if he's going to be your typical elected official. And I just wanted to make sure, I do need somebody to respond to this. Can you all hear me in the chat room? Hello? Anybody there? Somebody speak up. All right. And once you've established yourself as a person that is interested in said, you know, be knowledgeable, be active in the political arena, and make sure that you're registered to vote. And therefore, you'll be seen as a constituent who deserves the consideration and the time of the person in question. Now, officials are visited by paid lobbyists on a daily basis, trust me on this one. And they realize these people are not really interested in a piece of legislation except for the fact of how it affects their particular cause, or particularly with the lobbyist, their salary. It's refreshing to the elected official, to have somebody who really cares about the issues and wants to share information with them. At least hopefully they do anyway. Remember, these are plain men and women just like you. For the most part, they ran for office to make a difference. Having arrived in the Capitol, they came to realize things are not always as they seem. Change doesn't come easy when the status quo has been established for years. That's why we need more people up there that are willing to basically put themselves out there and, you know, make themselves known. You know, it says, you know, he who asks not will have not. So if you don't ask, you can't blame them for not knowing and giving what you want. You know, like, for instance, you know, when you're if you're in a Christmas time, you really want a tie, but all you do is just say, hey, you know, I really hope y'all get me some nice gifts this year, and you don't get a tie. Well, whose fault is that? You know, you got to ask them, you know. Otherwise, they're not going to know that there's a problem. And GA from PA, thanks for responding to that. All right. And still don't have any callers, but if you want to call in, you're certainly most welcome to. All right. Now, here's something important. Never, ever, ever lie to an official to make your case seem more solid. Trust me, they've heard them all, and you'll only brand yourself as a phony. Don't offer a compromise you're not certain your association will honor if you're representing someone else. Let the official realize that you'll always be above board on any issue, and treat each official with whom you come in contact with honesty and integrity, as if dealing with a friend that you might have just found out that was at a meeting there. Always address only one issue per letter or visit, unless requested to do otherwise, because generally speaking, there's going to be several people wanting to talk to them. And if you give them too much information, unless there's somebody there actually taking down notes, you know, they are human beings. Be realistic with what you want them to absorb. Now, once you've established a rapport with those elected officials in your district, you know, you want them to know, and you want to express the fact that you're an honest, caring person that's interested in your community and registered to vote and back that up. And you've taken step two, and hopefully if things go your way, you'll show so with passing with flying colors when they vote on the issue that you are interested in. Your new political future is moving closer to reality than you possibly can realize, my friend. All you have to do is just take the first step. It sounds pretty simple, but the thing is, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You got to take one step at a time. Now, And right now I'm going to take a station break, and we'll be back with step three, the campaign, when we return.
Radio listeners, you all know that the reason for global cooling is global warming. Well, we here at Lake Havasu Snow Removal want to remind everyone that we can plow your driveway or street 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We are available in the Lake Havasu, Phoenix, and soon-to-be Tucson areas in the cold Arizona desert. So, if your driveway is backed up in the middle of April or in the frozen tundra season of August, please call 855-NO-AZ-SNOW today. Time of day, any time of night, Lake Havasu snow removal will clear your driveway in freezing cold tundra of Arizona. Thank you.
Tired of sluggish internet access?
Mom, the internet's all slow again.
I'm not your mom. I'm the creature that evolved out of your mom.
Sick of unwanted spam?
Oh, another email message from my old college roommate, Rod Hughes. Oh, my.
Having problems with viruses and hardware malfunctions?
Error 432, network access remote server memory allocation assessment table exceeded. Hard drive reformatting will now commence. What?
Looking for something that requires no logons, no unwanted emails, coherent sentences, no technical problems whatsoever? Read a book. Books. The original internet.
Yes, my friends. Read a book. You know, sometimes we spend a lot of time in front of that computer screen, and we don't actually take anything. You know, we got all this virtual world working out here, but you know, sometimes, you know, just maybe just pick an honest-to-goodness book up and just read it. You know, I mean, there's nothing better, in my opinion, than curl up in front of a roaring fire with a book like War and Peace. You know, a thick book like that will keep a fire going for almost 3 hours. But anyway, but seriously, folks, check it out. Read a book. Okay, step three. Back on the ranch. Step three, the campaign. Much has been written about how to best support your candidate of your choice. And there are many ways as there are candidates. All probably work equally well if done properly. Since your organization will suffer shortages of funds on occasion, you have to deal sometimes with personal involvement instead of relying on someone else. And, of course, I like to remind people, anybody that wants to call in, you need to dial 1. And your prior contact with candidates has given you a choice as to whom you'll be support in the election and why. Some associations aren't going to tell members how to vote, but they may make recommendations based upon past performance of the information gathered. Now. But if they're not specifically like a Republican or a Democrat association. But here's the thing. Personal involvement in a campaign is better and receives more notice from a candidate or their staff than any cash donation. Others may disagree with that, but I can tell you as a candidate, from my own perspective, because I've run before, that this is what made a significant difference to me. Now, the association may begin with the assumption that someone becoming educated in the process and getting personally involved make a difference, and then it's right. This theory has been proven to be correct. Flyers can be picked up at campaign headquarters, and at a designated time, you can pass them out on the street and malls or anywhere else not prohibited by law. You know, you can pick up signs that represent your favorite candidate and put them out in your yard and encourage other people so as well. You can volunteer as often or as sparingly as you wish. Once or twice a week at about 2 hours per day is generally sufficient and most of the time is be greatly appreciated. You can do other things like stuffing envelopes. You can become familiar with the other campaign workers, you know, if they actually have a campaign headquarters, which most legitimate candidates will, and get to know their staff as well. You'll meet with others, other workers, and you can fold and put away campaign materials in envelopes to be mailed out later. These kind of tasks get sent a message out and allows you time to interact with others who could be helpful to your cause in the legislative session once the election's over. This is a perfect job for someone not adept in going out and talking to strangers, because not everybody's really cut out for that. But it is group friendly. The next form of service in a campaign is working on phone banks. For this task, you'll show up at a designated time and location, which will have several phones installed. You'll be given a list of names to call and to convince the person with whom you speak not only to vote, but to vote for the candidate that you're representing. 2 or 3 hours per evening, twice a week, is usually more than sufficient. But if you can give more time than that, do it. For this assignment, you need to have a strong, clear voice and no problem speaking with strangers. And if it seems a little awkward at first, you get used to it, generally speaking. You can usually tell within about 10 to 20 minutes if it's something you're cut out to do or not. Of course, as a phone solicitor, you won't have much time to interact with the other workers. But your services, I guarantee, won't go unnoticed. Putting up yard signs is a tried and true method of involvement in a campaign. Again, you can do as much or as little as you choose. You'll need a crew and more than likely a pickup or other kinds of vehicle for this job. And it's normally done on the weekends. Now, if you choose to do the standard job, you'll pick up the assigned signs at a pre-designated location. You'll be given a list of specific areas to cover and a list of addresses where the occupants have agreed to allow signs to be erected. It doesn't hurt if you can provide extra locations for this project. You'll generally spend most of the day, Saturday and possibly Sunday afternoons, on this assignment. You'll travel to each location and speak with the occupant if possible, identify yourself and verify their willingness to allow the signs to be posted, and place the signs in the location of their choice and move on to the next location. Here's something that I just wanted to point out to people. Do not pull up your opponent's signs. This depends on the state that you're in, but you can actually get some pretty serious legal trouble. And also, you know what? It really just says a lot more about you and your candidate than it does about them if you're going to steal somebody else's sign. Those signs are expensive, and if you're the one putting them out, you know how much trouble it is. So don't do it. Trust me on this one. I've known people have gotten caught doing that, and there's nothing worse than being caught stealing something out of somebody else's yard coming into private property. But anyway, if you have time and manpower and really want to get involved, you can run the entire sign campaign. If this much involvement is possible, it would be really, really beneficial to you in the future. signs will be picked up and assembled, and you'll not only be able to shoot them, but be able to assemble them as well. Your interest runs in this direction, and I could probably give you some more information about that. Now, as you move on to step 5, you'll see why that's more important. This is the ultimate in volunteer doing. By accepting this much responsibility, you show yourself as willing to go that extra mile. You also are freeing up other workers and cash to be used by the candidate elsewhere. The campaign is over and the election day has arrived. You'll definitely not be forgotten. Step 4. Excuse me. Step 4, the primary. You've worked hard and hopefully your candidate will be victorious. Win or lose, you've made friends and proven yourself to be a hard worker and a staunch supporter of those who have the same feelings and issues as you do. You have also seen how going the distance can pay off. As you progress, you can place enough members on each committee to truly affect your future. For example, there are 254 counties in Texas. If you can just get 10 state delegates from each county to control either part, you can possibly get control of precincts to get your views pressed on to the state convention level for your prospective party of interest. This is, of course, just a simple outline of the process. But if you've chosen to become involved, there are workshops you can go to for more specific training prior to the actual primary. Having taken those steps, you've gone the real knowledge of how things really work in politics in your state. And if you're adept in the process, as any county chairman that's currently going to be in office will probably be as well. So the knowledge you gain will be really helpful. Step five, here's the one to say, be careful how you decide, whether or not you decide to do this post, okay? Step five, run for office. Having taken the last couple of steps, as outlined, you become well-known movers and shakers in local political arena. Now may possibly become time your hat in the ring and become a candidate for public office. Again, I'll later outline how this can be accomplished. Very little cash outlay by you personally. This step will in no way cover every aspect of this task. It simply gives the basics and start using the knowledge you've gained from those last four steps that I've outlined. Pick an office that you'd like to hold. It's generally wise to start with a local office, but not always necessary. Contact your county courthouse or office of Secretary of State and declare your intent to run. You'll receive the necessary forms, which explain in detail the requirements to get on the ballot for the office you've chosen. There is generally a filing fee for most offices. These fees can, however, be waived by receiving enough signatures of registered voters. I recommend the petition because if you can get the signatures, generally 500 or less, then you can't win an election anyway, and you'll have to have no cost that's going to be placed upon you at the time should you not get that. Select a campaign treasurer and a staff. Get on the ballot and let the fun begin. You and your friends have already run campaigns, more likely if you follow these other steps, for other candidates. So it's just a matter of repeating the process, but the rewards and sometimes the penalties can be higher. Timing is a key ingredient to making your first campaign success. If possible, it's best to seek an office which has no incumbent, obviously. An incumbent always has the advantage over a challenger unless they have totally screwed up. There's an old saying, you know, there's only two things you can't be forgiven of in politics, being found with a dead girl or a live boy, and to some extent, that's true. Few people are really well informed during election, relying completely on the media for their information. They'll vote for an incumbent thanks to the media simply because they recognize the name. Sad but true. Also, anything an incumbent says or does is covered by the media news, while you'll more than likely be ignored to some extent. A good way to overcome this bias is to have several of your friends write letters to the editor of your local newspaper have them do it often. Have them tell what you're saying and doing and ask why there's no media coverage if they're giving you a hard time. This will get your name and message before the media at no cost to you. If you must face an incumbent, it's best to wage this campaign with a particular issue which directly affects the offices that you've chosen that will galvanize the public action. Study the issues from all angles. If your position is different from the incumbent and the voters are vocal about it, then go for it. Attend all the meetings in your area and speak out. Talk to any group which will have you. Trust me on that one. Talk to individuals on the street and stores, anywhere you encounter them. Set a goal and meet every voter in your district that you can. Of course, you can't talk to all of them, but try. A few friends willing to use their phone bank to make local calls to voters will fill the need for a phone bank at no charge. Several can get together at each home or office and have fun while taking turns making calls. We'll, of course, have to purchase signs and campaign literature. If you have a friend in the business, great. If not, these can be purchased from a mail order house or at reasonable rates from factories, that kind of thing. The rest is up to you. State your position honestly, forcefully, and often. Trust me, if you lie, you will be caught. you must sell not only your ideas, but yourself. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. But if you'll let me give me a little bit of time on this, I'll contact you when I do have an answer. Point out differences between you and your opponent, but try to be positive about it. And always do this in a way to where you don't make negative remarks about your opponent personally. Instruct your campaign workers that they never say anything negative about them either. Stick to the issues. Get your views before all the voters possible. A good way to end each speech is to encourage people to vote. That's one of the main things. You got to ask them for your vote. For example, I want to thank each of you for attending this meeting and giving me the time to express my views. It's extremely important that each of you vote in this election. I encourage each of you to vote, even if you choose to vote for my opponent. Only if you all vote can the winner truly be chosen by the people. If any of you are not registered to vote, we have voter registration cards, obviously you need to bring some with you, which you can fill out tonight or take home with you. And don't always use a prepared speech, but the thing is it you know, once you kind of have what you're going to say to be down, but the first couple of times it might help if you bring some cue cards, that kind of thing. Now, if you win your first elective office, you'll come to really live the American dream. You'll become someone who can make a difference using hard work and the help of friends rather than money. These 5 steps that I've outlined for you are now complete, but your journey has just begun. Now, you have to keep in mind, folks, that every district is a little bit different, you know, and as I outlined on the part about being negative, I think anytime that you're really negative as a politician, it really says a lot more about you than it does about your candidate. And even if the person that you're running against is an incumbent or it's a challenger and they really are lousy, something I would suggest and something I would encourage you to do is look at your campaign from this perspective. You are doing the voters of your area, whichever office that you're running for, a disservice if you can't on your own stand as a legitimate candidate. Because the thing is it doesn't matter how good or bad or lousy the person you're running against is if you can't do a good job. I mean, are you really doing yourself a favor? And also, there's something else that I'd like to point out. You know, the people that you're running against are human beings. Just like you, they have people that care about them. They have grandma, grandpa, kids, that kind of thing. And before you say anything about anybody, you really should take into consideration how it would affect you or your family if somebody said that about you. You know, simply because it's the right or the truth doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing to do. And I just always encourage people to proceed with a level of caution because, you know, it's kind of, you know, obviously the golden rule is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But I've noticed kind of in politics, things kind of have a way, I don't know if you really call it karma or not, but they sort of have a way of getting around to you. And trust me, if you're in, especially in a high level of political office or power or whatever, eventually you're going to come to a point where you will be reminded of the thing that you said off the cuff in that meeting that time. So remember, you know, if you think you're going to get away with it, you probably aren't. And you really, really should consider what you say. Make sure, you know, there's a lot of times that politicians' whole campaign was ruined because they didn't realize the microphone was on or they weren't using the right microphone or they just assumed that somebody wasn't listening. So basically what I would suggest you do is always conduct yourself as though you were standing in front of a lot of people at a microphone, even if you're standing in front of one other person, because you never know who's listening. And I guarantee you, if you make a strong statement that's incorrect or that's rude or abusive or something like that, people are going to remember that kind of thing. And it may not come back to you today, tomorrow, or the next day. But I think eventually, if you're not careful and you're not diligent in the way that you run your campaign, it will show. So with that in mind, this is Constantine for Abilene, and we're just about ready to wrap up the show, but we've got about 2 minutes left. So I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity, and thank you for letting me come into your home and have this little chat with you. And if any of y'all ever have any questions of me or anything like that, always feel free to call in. And until next week, I appreciate y'all coming in, and good luck with making the natives restless.
I live in a world of iron. I wish it to be a world of gold. So I must have a heart.
Testing 1, 2, 3. There we go. Okay. Sorry about that.
Ay, ay, ay. Le chupacabra. ¿Por qué?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra!
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon!
That sounds cool!
Here, you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow!
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours! You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red!
I want to be blue!
Buy more trains! Get HR 645 passed! But don't pay the Senate too much money.
You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, I mean, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
But Jeb, I'm glad to see you survived the fall civilization. You look a little hungry. Did you put any food in that bug-out bag?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Well, you know, there's gophers in that field over there. You like gopher?
I like gopher.
You know there's 25 ways to cook a gopher.
Is there?
In fact, there is, but there's no way to cook a gopher that's better than a little Travenile 1 gopher dipping barbecue sauce. Solves a real man's appetite. Got barbecue sauce in that bag of yours?
Nope.
That's all right, I do. That's right, just go on over there and get us a gopher and we'll have some of that fantastic, yummy, tasty Travenile 1 gopher dipping barbecue sauce.
This is completely fictional commercial and no way indicates that Travenile 1 does actually make a gopher dipping barbecue sauce. If Travenile 1 does ever decide to make a gopher dipping barbecue sauce, False Flag Radio fully expects the royalties from the production that you tune into the commie and the conspiracy theorist exclusively on False Flag Radio.
And this is Constantine Ferraglin back with Hour 2. Sorry about those technical difficulties earlier. Never was able to get a good contact within. Anyway, if we're having somebody call in here in just a second, go ahead and raise your hand so I can let you on. You there?
Oh, yeah, Con. Sorry, I'm here, man. I had myself mic'd. Muted, rather.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm here. Jay is here. Con is here. We're filling in this hour for what the heck, why not, because it's here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next week, guys, there will be a – you guys will have regular hosts filling in all the spots. Starting, I believe, if not this Monday, the following Monday, I mean, we pretty much have all of our spots filled now. So that's good news as far as Freedomizer Radio goes.
Good news indeed.
And I'm just now getting into the chat room, so if I boot you out, my apologies. I'm signing in as co-host. I don't know where you signed in at.
And I signed in as host.
Good, we're still here. Cool. Awesome. All right, now we're set. So... Well, first of all, Constantine, I want to thank you once again for sharing the Sabbath show with me.
Mm-hmm. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, it was a really, really good show.
And I think I enjoyed doing it.
I think I just booted ABC out out of the co-host chair. let's see if he's online, actually. All right. obviously, guys, things are a little bit crazy here today. ABC, my friend, if you wanna call in and join the party, man, please call in. I didn't mean to boot you out as co-host. I would gladly take a break. If ABC, if you wanna come on in, buddy, come on in. Last Saturday we had a pretty good time, you, me, and him.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday night.
Yeah, I think ABC is a pretty nice guy. I don't care what Jay says.
Hey, I am ABC's number one fan. He might even tell you that. I don't really want to take any credit whatsoever at all. But I did as much as I possibly could to have him as a host here on Freedomizer. Because he was such a great caller, I figured he would be a great host also. but I don't want to take any credit. I don't want to take any credit for him actually being a host here.
Mm-hmm.
But that was something that I wanted to see happen. So anyway, ABC, if you want to call in, my friend, call in. And if there's anything that you want to talk about, Constantine, hey, ABC's on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and open his mic. Hey, ABC, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going there? I guess I was a little confused for a minute there. I wasn't sure if we had a host, so that's why I logged in.
That's okay. You know what? It is really nice that you did that. Because usually it's me that does that, you know. So it's really nice that somebody else actually, was concerned enough. All right, Dr. LB, I see that. You're pretty funny. I was explaining. I don't know if you heard, but I was explaining a little bit to the listeners. I said I don't want to take any credit for it, and I'm not taking any credit for it. But I tried to do as much as I possibly could to get you to become a host here on Freedomizer because I valued your input as a caller.
Well, I think somebody mentioned that to me. Well, I mean, you kind of mentioned to me that you had dropped some hints around, or that you had spoke up some, and somebody else mentioned the same thing to me that, you had dropped a couple of lines or information to people. So, I mean, I appreciate that.
And I really like ABC's voice.
No, what or who is
that's got to be Constantine goofing around, man.
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah. All right. Let's get down to some business here. Not that I have anything.
We have kibitzers here. We have kibitzers. That's all I can say.
I don't have anything planned for a show, and Constantine's already been on an hour, and me and him shared the hour for the Sabbath show. So I guess the question to ABC is there anything today that you want to talk about?
Well, something in particular, not exactly, although there was a link that I dropped in at one of the other shows there about that Christine O'Donnell. And I guess that's something that I'm a little curious to see what people's take is on this lady. And that's the Tea Party candidate who won in Delaware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My own feelings on it is I don't know about her. I don't really know anything about her, but there's a YouTube video. I guess she was on, Politically Incorrect a while back. Where is she from? She must have been some kind of personality or celebrity beforehand because she was on that
TV hopefully
show,
she's from Delaware.
Well, okay. We got that much. apparently... She's starting to sound a little bit like a nut job. I think that people did the right thing by we expressed that we don't want either one of these Democrats or Republicans. We're tired of this and we're trying to get something else. But I'm kind of wondering what this lady's about.
Well, even though I was joking around about that, when you're talking about elected office, every state has their different laws, and literally there's some laws, like, for instance, here in Texas, you can be a U.S. Congressman without actually living in the district that you represent. I believe in the state of Mississippi, you don't even have to live in the state. You don't even have to have a residence in the state. You just have to win the position on the ballot to a congressman from that state. So even though I was being a little facetious, she probably is from Delaware. That doesn't necessarily guarantee that. Political science is interesting. And, one of the things that you found out, like, for instance, when during the whole thing with Bush and Gore in Florida, basically, every state has its different kinds of laws and different kinds of regulations. And generally speaking, you'll find that, like Thurgood Marshall, he was a Supreme Court justice a long time before any of us were born, put it really well, the way that most Supreme Court groups look at cases that are brought before them when it comes to elections. We don't want to get in this political thicket. Most of the time they won't get involved because, generally speaking, elections that are especially for representatives, or when you talk about gerrymandering or the area that each one represents, is usually a state issue, and that's the way the Constitution sets it up. And very seldom will the Supreme Court step in and make a decision on those kind of issues.
Hey, ABC, real quick, do you know how to spell her last name? Because I'm trying to look up some information on her.
Yeah, I have it here. O and comma D-O-N-N-E-L-L, O'Donnell. But, you know...
One more time, O-N...
okay.
O-D-O-N.
O-D-O-N-N. So there's two N's.
Okay, and two L's.
L-L. There is that O'Donnell, you know, it's like the Irish O and then apostrophe.
M-O-U-S-E.
I got that. Okay, cool. All right, yeah, I'm going to try to pull some information up on her as we're talking about this.
Yeah. So well, I did just drop a link in the chat. It's the YouTube video where Bill Maher's talking about her. But what he did was, Lance mentioned, she was on his show a couple times, and he showed a video where she was on the show talking about how she had some awareness of witchcraft. And she dated somebody who was a witch or something. It's pretty crazy.
Well, I'm a Christian and a reverend, and I dated somebody that was involved in witchcraft. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's all that weird. I mean, you know.
Well,
know,
yeah, it's pretty weird.
How many people you dated?
No. I think it's weird. I mean, that's not a common thing that somebody's engaged in witchcraft. And you know, one thing I would say.
Well, if they're engaged in it is one thing. If they dated somebody that wasn't, another.
No, it still speaks to you. If you dated somebody who's a witch, who's into witchcraft, then it makes, you know, I mean, it's worth pursuing. What is it about you that interested, you know, that you had an interest in somebody who was involved with witchcraft? That's a valid question.
That's why they were interested in me, but yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
you know,
you make a joke of it, but I'm serious about it. We're talking about politics and our representatives, and the whole thing about this stuff is that, you know, all we can do, we don't know these people. You know, all we can do is go with information that we gather on them. And something like that, being involved, you know, what your religion is, which is a personal thing, but if I'm a Christian, maybe I don't want to elect a Muslim to office. That's my right, you know. Maybe I don't want to elect somebody who's involved with witchcraft in office. That's my right. So, you know, it's valid.
So you're one of those kind of people, if they inhaled back 30 years ago, that might be an issue to you, whereas someone like me, it's like, it's my opinion, you know, you do dumb stuff when you're a kid. It's like, but did you keep doing it now that you're not a kid anymore?
Well, that's a different factor.
Kind of thing.
No, that's a factor. That's something that, you know, I mean, if you did it yesterday or if you did it 30 years ago, yes, it does mean something. But whether or not you did it at all means something too. So there's two different stories there.
Well, let me, I agree with your point of view, but let me ask you a question and put this point in context. And just put this, the point I'm making in context. During the years when I was singing in bands, I've probably had relations with 600-700 different women. And I don't do that anymore. Is that a reflection of me now that, you know, I've changed my personal outlook on life, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate? You know, am I a womanizing fiend?
You were
now that I don't do it anymore? Well, yeah, probably.
Well,
but, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, people change. I think
no,
I have.
All of that's understood, man. It doesn't change the fact that you were involved with all those women. So, yes, did you change? You know, I mean, that comes out after the fact. First, somebody says, hey, well, you know K4A was involved with a bunch of different women. He's a womanizer. Well, that's all the information I got. Then, yeah, it's something that I'm going to think about. Like, wow, that guy's a womanizer. But if I find out that happened 10 years ago and you since changed and, you know, you don't really think like that anymore, then that's a factor, too. So I'm saying, you know, I don't discount either one. I'm saying that.
Well, I would say that it. I would just say making a disclaimer. If you're heavily involved in the music industry and you're a singer and you're the lead guy and at least you're halfway attractive to women, as I found that I am, that's really kind of a low number. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I just wasn't with just every girl that was interested in me either, you know. But you know, like I said, I'm not like that anymore, but, you know, I just kind of, you know, from my personal thing, I was just so shy that I never asked women out. That's the only way that I ever got dates is I wouldn't go sing, you know, that kind of thing.
Well,
so,
well, hold on. Hold
there's
on,
all kinds of factors is my point I was trying to get at.
Yeah, but...
And people change.
You kind of took it off of the original topic where my question to you was about this O'Donnell lady and her being involved with witchcraft. And basically you're saying,
she was
well,
involved
so,
with witchcraft.
I mean,
sure.
If that's a youthful indiscretion, it ain't such a big deal. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Well, if it was a youthful indiscretion, people, from my personal perspective, and, you know, I'm probably not going to be your average person that's a reverend, but I would say, you know what?
Yeah, it doesn't
your
sound like
a far from, your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. I may have made those mistakes back then, but if I repented from them, whether it was a dumb mistake or was a good mistake, whether it was an intentional mistake, if I've repented and I've left it behind me, sure, it does matter, and it does kind of talk to your personality to some extent. But the thing is ultimately, you know, from a religious standpoint, the way God sees you from, those sins are gone from you. Now, do you take that in consideration? Oh, yeah, you definitely do. But I'm saying, you know, people make mistakes when they're young. If they date somebody that's involved in some kind of weird kind of religion, that kind of thing happens. You know, and I'm telling you, especially when the woman, especially when guys, I mean, you know, seriously, you know, come on, be honest. This is a, you know, this guy might have been just one of the most knockout men that she'd ever met in her life, and she made, you know, that exception. She may not even have agreed with his religious beliefs, but he was just a hot guy that she could any. Maybe it was popular. There's just a lot of issues. So,
well,
you know,
but
to give people the benefit of the doubt.
The problem is, we're making too many assumptions about it. My only point was that that's some information that came up recently. How long ago it happened? I don't know. You know, how much has she changed? I don't know. You know, just the fact that she was on national TV, you know, that tells me that she already had some kind of celebrity at that point. And when she was on there talking about it, it sounds like that was already in her past. She was just saying that, well, you know, hey, I dabbled in witchcraft, something along those lines, what she said. And she looked younger, you know, so whatever, it's in her background, but still it's something that I think is a valid question to want to ask as to, you know, man, what? How did you get involved with that? Or I wonder what's going on with you that you, you know, drew you to that person's attention or this kind of thing. She said something about being on the altar.
Yeah. I was just reading that. That sounds
a little bit in cuckoo's.
Yeah, this right now, she said this to ABC News. This is an ABC News story from 5 hours ago. She says, and this is a quote from her, "One of my first dates with a witch was on a satanic altar, and I didn't know it. I mean, there's little blood and stuff like that," she said. "We went to a movie and then had a midnight picnic on a satanic altar."
Yeah, what the heck kind of, you know. So, my only point with all this is that, you know, like everything else, it seems to be that there's a little more to the story. But having said all of that, though, what I wanted to say as far as a perspective on it is that regardless of what happens with this lady or how she turns out to be, I think that the message that we can take from it is that people are reaching beyond this left-right thing. You know, they know it's a trap to some extent, you know, and they're looking for something different. This Tea Party is what they're reaching out to. And, you know, unfortunately, that's been kind of usurped by the Palins and the Becks. But regardless, there's some hope that there's an awakening or some awareness out there.
Yeah, ABC, I agree with you there. People are waking up. They're getting pretty fed up with what the heck's going on in their government. And this is a real good tool to try and effect some change before it's too late. Now, is it going to work? I have my doubts as to how far the mainstream media, the controllers, the cabal, will allow these Tea Party candidates to go. But I do believe that the people are looking for something other than the Republican Democrat. People are starting to realize that they're two sides of the same coin.
Right,
And you know what they might get as an alternative might not be any better than what we have now. But at least people are taking that effort and that initiative to try to find something different, to find
right, more. Right.
Let me ask you two guys, with all due respect, I'm not discounting either one of you, but have either one of you actually been a candidate before?
Yes, I was.
I have not.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something, man, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, and this is with all due respect to your point of view, man. Let me tell you something. Just because the media says something about you or they take a soundbite of something you said, that does not mean that's what you said. That's not mean what you meant. That doesn't necessarily mean it's even the truth. And I'll give you the perfect example. Like, for instance, locally here in Abilene, I was supposed to be indicted to be arrested. Well, there was no indictment. There was no thing for arrestment. There was nothing, you know. And it was on three media centers. Now, everybody probably thinks it's true, but the thing is just because, you know, it's just like, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see is what I'm trying to say when you're involved with the media. If you really want to know what a candidate believes in, find their site. See what they say. Now, they may still be nut jobs that, you know, do whatever, but the thing is, you know, take that soundbite in, you know, context. Hear the whole thing. Hear what led up to that. Who knows? They might have been sarcastic. You never know.
No, that's totally understood. You know, anybody that pays any kind of attention to the media and has any kind of awareness about politics and the media understands that. As a matter of fact, it was just recently here that one lady from Obama's administration was kicked off of the kicked out of the Justice Department or something because they said that she was claiming something about she wouldn't help white people because she's black and she was talking about her hard times. Well, it was all taken out of context and she was explaining that all of us have to resist, you know, dealing with personal issues and do what the job is about. It was a lot. It was like the exact opposite of what they said it was. And they hired her back. You know, everybody came out and apologized and all this kind of stuff. So that's just a recent example of where that happens. But it happens all the time, all day, everybody. And I think we're all aware of that. But concerning this lady, though, and what came up about it, you know, it's just something. It's an interesting tidbit. I don't know that she's addressed it yet. It did say on the HuffPost Post that she's canceled appearances she was supposed to have tomorrow on the Sunday shows. I guess, you know, they got to back up and regroup and try to think, all right, you know, how are we going to manage this this information? And she may be totally have nothing to do with the stuff anymore or anything like that, but still it's something where she has to come out and explain the deal. So
what my political intuition says to me is this information was a plant.
Well,
now, it may be true, it may not be true, but the thing is it's a plant by somebody that's opposed to her.
Well,
right,
well, I don't have any doubts about it, but they have her on video talking about it.
Yeah, I know.
Word.
But the fact that it keeps being repeated and everything like that, I don't know. It just,
well, yeah,
I mean,
definitely because it's being repeated.
That's what stirs inside me. Even if it's true or if it's not true, the thing is somebody, once they found this out, is
right.
pushing it.
There's an agenda behind it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The agenda is the point I'm getting at.
And I don't have any doubts about that. You know, like we said, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah. So, hey, guys, you guys want to take a commercial break now and come back in about 4 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
No, just got to go ahead.
All right, hey, you got Crazy Man Constantine, Nutjob Jay, and superb show host ABC. We're filling in some time on a Saturday evening. Next hour is Aaron Hawkins with Storm Clouds Gathering. If you guys aren't familiar with his work, just go to YouTube and type in Storm Clouds Gathering, all one word. All right, thanks for listening to Freedomizer Radio, guys. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecast. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at the 3Ws.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The 3Ws.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Hey, Freedomizers. Have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com, where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
Howdy, folks. Buford T. Slaughter with the Slaughter School of Military Science. We are now enrolling for fall semester for 8 through 11-year-old children, boys and girls. Folks, we have a war against terrorism going on in this country. We have a war against illegal aliens. We have a war against drugs. We have a war against high cholesterol, just to name a few. Uncle Sam needs your kids to continue this war. Send them to the Slaughter School of Military Science, and in 9 months, you will have the most efficient killing machine this country has ever produced. I'm not going to lie to you. There will be pain. There will be suffering. But if your children are properly trained, they will come home alive. Give us a call at 1-800-U-KILL. 1-800-U-KILL. The Slaughter School of Military Science.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you have not checked out the Proof Negative show, this is what you're missing. Here we cover the news the mainstream media is too scared to cover. The mainstream media wants us to cover how many touchdowns in the latest hockey game, which celebrities don't wear underwear, and the top 10 ways how to spice up your goulash. Sorry, mainstream media, humanity is at stake. I don't have time for mainstream news. The Proof Negative Show, here on Freedomizer Radio, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern.
Join me, Mr. Britt, on the Mr. Britt Show on Freedomizer Radio, every Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 9 p.m. Central European Time. I'll cover the stories in a way the mainstream media doesn't.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Freedomizer Radio. You've got Jay here and Constantine for Abilene, one of our newest Freedomists, and, of course, ABC. Are you still with us?
Yeah, everybody. Hey, somebody asked me to turn on my camera. Somebody asked me if that was my real picture or not, so I turned on my web camera. So if you want to see if that really is me, yeah, this is me. Hi. Hey, everybody.
Hey, don't do anything strange on that camera, Constantine. All right, all jokes aside, we've got about 20 minutes to go, so let's see if we can't cover some business here.
Hey, Jay, let me say real quick, you know, on that last subject, we were talking about the lady being involved with witchcraft or whatever, and this is full disclosure. You know, I picked up a book about a couple weeks ago called Magical Herbalism, and, you know, I glanced through it, and it talks about witches and stuff like that on there. But I got it because it talked about, you know, this herb is good for this, this herb is good for that. And I understand that I believe the pagans or maybe witches or something, part of what they talk about is nature and understanding nature and all that kind of stuff. But the idea that, you know, witch, you know, somebody mentions witch and you're supposed to, like, run the opposite direction, I didn't let that stop me from getting the book. So it's not a thing necessarily where, you know, somebody mentions witchcraft and it means you need to run away. But it's still a valid point of inquiry, I would say. But I just thought I'd give you my little tidbit to say, hey, look, I ain't scared of the word.
No, go right ahead, ABC.
Ghostbusters. Yeah,
go right ahead, man. We don't have anything planned. You know, we don't have a show planned. You know, we're just this hour next week will be filled by a regular show host. Just so everybody knows.
Hey, thanks, DLB, for mentioning to me that when I run for office, they'll be sure to bring that up. Can we erase this tape?
No, unfortunately, we can't, because if we could, then some of our listeners would not have had the unfortunate event of finding out about my unhealthy Sarah Palin obsession.
At least it wasn't with one of her daughters.
I think, as a matter of fact, ABC was there with me on False Flag Radio. It was either ABC or Doc DLB, one of you guys. Were there with me on False Flag Radio when the subject of my unhealthy obsession with Sarah Palin did come up.
I heard you talk on it before. I don't know that I heard you elaborate on it.
Well, you won't. You're going to have to go check out the archives of False Flag Radio for that one. I'm not going to repeat.
I hear you.
So unfortunately, the archives stay.
Yeah, and that's all. I just wanted to throw it out there that, you know, the way I present myself or the way I think about things is I keep an open mind to everything. So I can hear and listen to anything and anybody. You know, I'll reject what I think is BS or evil or bad, and I'll keep or hold on to anything that I think is worthwhile or valid or good. But I do think that at this point in my life, you know, I've been living long enough to know that history – is made up by the people that win. Doesn't matter how they won, but that they won. And they're the ones that define things. And this whole idea of defining, the power to define, whether it's defining the argument or defining the terms, that's where the power is, because it keeps us all focused in this one little narrow space. When you can define, okay, here's the parameters. We're only going to talk about this. You can't mention that, or that, you know. So all of that's understood.
Right. Yeah. Constantine must be doing something on camera because he keeps on posting it in the chat room. Hey, everybody, I'm live on camera. Are you juggling?
I'm having fun. I didn't realize you could do this. I'm sorry.
I was just wondering if you were juggling while riding a unicycle. I don't know.
That is live on camera. Is that connected with Blog Talk?
Yeah, you can do that. If you're on the host or the co-host spot, you can sync up your webcam.
So then how does somebody like us in the chat room see
Go click on the camera.
You have to click on the little camera next to the thing that says the little green part. It says little host on that. Also, according to this that I'm reading, you can click on the person's name and you click on private. There's a little camera on there, and you can sit there and video chat with somebody while you're talking in private chat with them too, apparently. So
yeah, that's great. Unfortunately, that technology for me is not good. I have a voice for TV and a face for radio.
That's pretty good. Yeah, somebody loves you, don't they, Jay? Come on.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm very loved, and I appreciate all my friends and family.
You have a face for radio.
Now, let me tell you, man, I was out the other day and I was speaking outside, and my skin is really white. I burned like a potato chip. You know, anytime that you agree that you're going to speak somewhere, make sure that, you know, if you're a white guy like me, man, you wear sunscreen because, boy.
Here's his picture. He's on live on video.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, when you're going to speak in front of somebody and you're trying to get your message across, you know, come prepared. You know, the Boy Scouts have something there when it says be prepared. So always be prepared for that.
Well, you know, Con, I might want to say something real quick, and not to cut you off, but there's a lot of people that believe that sunscreen is not healthy for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, for various reasons. They blocked the sun's good rays that help promote vitamin K and vitamin D in your body. For one reason. Another reason is that they may actually help to promote skin cancers. So my advice would be to just take a cue from people who work outdoors a lot and just wear long sleeve clothes if you're going to be out instead of using sunscreen.
That's a good point, Jay. But the way I understand it is, I don't think anybody should do anything to cover it up. You need that sunlight for your vitamin D.
Yeah, you do.
All of us have a deficiency.
A deficiency, right?
Yeah. So I say go out there with a T-shirt on and go for it.
Right. Unfortunately, I burn like a potato chip, just like my friend Constantine.
Yeah. Well.
But it only burns once, okay? That's the thing. It only burns once. After that, you get a nice tan. So
there's the thing, too, about, you know, you do see people that have been out there for, like, well, like, particularly older women that have obviously been tanning since they were younger, and now their skin looks like leather.
Yeah, it looks like a catcher's mitt. That's terrible.
Yeah, and that may be from just overdoing it. I mean, you know, staying out there for hours at a time. Days at a time. So.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about what they were saying, though, as far as the person running for there in Delaware. You know, I made the observation, you know, like 2 years ago. It really concerns me. You know, you have this kind of elitist class in the Republican Party, whether you like the Republicans or not. I'm not being critical of the party's platform as much as I'm just saying that there's a lot of, you know, the old money type there. And I think one of the things that, you know, happened with McCain's campaign is they didn't embrace the marginal people. You know, one thing that I've always observed, you know, about politics is, well, it is a popularity contest. The guy that gets the most votes wins. You know, and the thing is whether a rhino or a dino or whatever kind of critter you think they are, if they're going to vote for you, folks, don't drive them away from you, okay? I mean, seriously, I mean, it's a lot easier to be friends than it is enemies. You know, and for instance, the Ron Paul people, when I was a delegate at the Republican convention here in Texas, and they wouldn't give him any time. The thing is, sure, the guy lost. But, you know, all these people really wanted was their 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, it would have been a nice gesture.
See, you know, I blame that on the media. I blame that on the media, 100% on the media. I don't think that people and people believe what they see on the media. And if you're only getting one or two candidates in the media, of course that's all you're going to think that there are, is one or two candidates, and it's an unfair playing field. It's definitely geared towards the two major parties as far as the media goes. So you can do whatever you want, and I give Christine O'Donnell credit for, I believe it was $20,000 to go out.
I congratulate her. I mean, that's all about making the natives restless, man. You sit there, and you can do it. You can do it, too.
As far as she's going to get after this, I don't think it's going to go. And Doc DLB, you just gave me nightmares tonight, my buddy. Did you see, guys, what he just posted in the chat room? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have nightmares. It's all because of you, Doc DLB. Thank you very much. Oh, hey, I wanted to mention something real quick, guys. There is another hour available tonight. I hate to talk shop over the air, but there's another hour available tonight at 11 Eastern if any of you guys are interested in taking that hour. Because Aaron Hawkins is on for 2 hours from 8 Eastern, I mean from 9 Eastern until 11 Eastern.
Well, okay. If I'm around, I may do it.
Okay, that's cool. If you guys want to do the same thing as we're doing now, that's fine. I really don't know if I'm going to be awake. I did do a morning show this morning.
Yeah.
Well, just take your Geritol, old man, and just come on up. Yes, sir. Man, you're so old. How old are you, sir? Does dirt call you, sir?
No, I'm not really that tired. I'm actually tired of hearing myself talk.
I can understand that. No, I mean, I like to chat and everything like that. But to be honest, I don't know. I mean, sitting here talking by myself, unless I have something to say, it just really isn't, I don't know. To be honest, I still would rather come up in front of anybody and sing than talk. So, you know, that's just my personal.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I would have an easier time standing up and giving a speech than I would singing. But, of course, I believe
that I'm a better singer than I am a speaker. So.
Okay, and me and you are complete opposites on that. I'm a better speaker than I am a singer. I make Cass cry when I sing.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one, Jay. I don't even attempt singing.
Is that kind of like when I cook, I burn water?
Oh. Yeah, that was funny. Did you catch that earlier? That was great. Nicole Balderson, our show host, early Saturday.
The bass player for Motley Crue?
No, Nicky Nix.
Nicky Nix. I thought you said Nicky Six. It's like, really, man? Him? I'm cool, man. I missed that.
No, see, she's one of our hosts on Freedomizer here, and she was talking. Yeah. She was talking about how uneducated she was early in life about cooking, and she said she actually burned water.
I was joking about that.
Oh, I see. Now you referenced it, and I thought maybe you had heard that. So sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to bring that up again.
No, actually, I didn't hear that. So that's funny.
Okay, if anybody wants to hear Nikki talk about burning water, you got to check the archives from today. That's all I'm going to say about that. Oh, man.
That's funny. I like that. Anyway.
Wow. So this has spiraled completely out of control, guys. But that's
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'll rein in ABC a little bit more next time. Hey, this was my hour. You know, according to this, this is making the natives restless. So,
yeah. So
all you natives out there, are you restless yet?
I wrote that up this morning.
Now we have to wait for the 2 minute lag. So here I go.
Oh, ABC, what was that link you just put in there?
This is another link. This one is. The Manufacturing of a President, and it's an interesting article about whoever this person is. This is an author.
Wow, what a picture.
Yeah, by Zen Gardner. But basically what they're talking about is how this guy is completely manufactured, which I think many people have that feeling. There's a video that's attached to that I hadn't read yet, but... basically how, you know, he's a product of the cabal and a puppet, but how, you know, the guy is only there for the surface and for appearances and to cover the cabal, you know, and that's the thing that I've said about them is, and where I have a lot of issue with them is that, you know, he allows his race to be used to totally deflect any real investigation as to what he's about or what's going on behind him. But I think more than 90% of them, more than 90% of the people buy into that. So, you know, we'll argue about whether he's a Muslim or whether he's from his country or, you know, blacks will defend him.
To me, you know, that doesn't matter whether he's Muslim or Christian or from this country. The only thing that matters, and I'm going to anger some people, but the only thing that matters to me is that this guy is controlled by what ABC calls the cabal. That's
right,
the only
right.
thing that matters. And that should really be, honestly, be the only thing that matters to all of us. But, of course, people get sidetracked on the religion issue, on the citizenship issue, on Michelle Obama being fat issue, whatever.
Right.
You know, people
right.
get sidetracked on the issue, and, of course, that's the job of the mainstream media, is to divert your attention from what's really going on.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and, you know, it mentions about how it's all his presidency, you know, it's the whole thing is a photo op. You know, there's pictures of him with the kids. There's pictures of him on vacation again. There's, you know, he's presidential giving a speech or whatever. He's on a trip and, you know, he's walking alongside. And all of the presidents are like this. I mean, it happens with everybody. But it's especially significant or effective with this guy because he's the first black president. So, you know, there's a lot of interest. I was going to say scrutiny. There's no scrutiny. There's a lot of interest in what's going on with them. And it's like People Magazine or something. I mean, that thing sells more. People Magazine sells more than whatever the New York Times bestseller. But
yeah.
all it is just, you know,
fluff.
Gossip magazine.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah.
Did you read down into the story a little bit, ABC?
Yeah. Which part you talking about?
I'm talking right there, like where it's, right where it says, let's get to the root of the problem. About a quarter of the way down into the story,
oh, okay.
It says,
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So where did this bigger agenda for the golden boy of the socialist New World Order come from? How did the controllers finally get their perfect puppet for this last stage of the American transformation and beyond? And if you scroll underneath the picture, it really gives a really good explanation. It says, maybe Obama is a mind control product of the controllers, the next pawn in the long line of deviants willing to perform such a task. Now, whether he's a true Manchurian candidate, or at least effectively a part of tried and true proven mind control techniques, is somewhat moot, although intriguing. The lifelong programming and power of personal and political persuasion over him is obvious, and I agree with that 150%.
Right.
Personally, I wouldn't be surprised at any explanation, knowing the history of MK Ultra and similar programs. His CIA pedigree is documented, and the rampant use of CIA mind control techniques is notorious for those who will listen. His behavior sure bears it out. Now, that's a very powerful couple of paragraphs right there that kind of sums
right.
up everything that most of us think about him.
Right. And one thing I would say about him is not having known this at the time when he was, you know, elected as the candidate and being elected as the president, one thing about him that stood out more than anything, you know, for me even more than his race, was how smooth he was, you know. Under pressure, he didn't get fazed or anything, and they kind of commented on that, you know. He was, like, unflappable.
Yeah.
And that's almost unreal, you know. Everybody gets shaken.
Yeah, like maybe that was like a mind control technique. Of course, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so, you know, that could have been part of his, if he is, in fact, mind control, you know, that could have been part of his training.
Right. So,
wow, this is a good story, man. Thank you for posting that into the chat room, man. That's awesome. I'm going to have
to
read
it. It's very interesting.
And the thing with MK Ultra, was intriguing too, you know, how it mentions that. And I've mentioned this before, in particular, given it as an example as to how conditioned we are as people, you know, it's documented that the MK Ultra experiments and stuff existed. And the idea behind it is that, you know, once we brainwash you, you can do anything with you. You know, don't have to be, it's like remote programming. You're conditioned from afar, you know. So, I don't know.
Well, it's certainly an interesting theory.
Yeah. But all these guys are just puppets, and it's just a matter of, I kind of refer to Obama as Bush 2.0, or President 2.0. He's just the latest model.
So you believe in the bureaucracy abomination, huh?
I'm not quite sure what that means.
Bureaucracy is in bureaucracy, and an abomination is an abomination. The bureaucracy abomination.
Well, if that
so you're a are you a believer, Brother ABC? Tell me. Be a witness. Are you being a witness?
As I say, I don't know what any of that means. But I do believe that the guy's definitely a puppet. And that he's like the best puppet they've had. He's the most he's the new model. 2010 or 2008, I guess. 2008 model.
You know, right.
One thing I kind of wondered about that is now, you know, he's doing the same thing. By the time he's finished, people will be so disgusted with him that they may go ahead and kick him out. Although I think he's got a good chance of being reelected. But if he does get kicked out, maybe they'll pick a woman next. You know, it's like, okay, we tried Bush, we tried Obama. Let's get a woman.
Fair hey, thing. You never know. You never know. It almost happened, 2 years ago. All right, guys, we're getting the 90-second mark here. So, ABC, tell everybody when you're going to be on again.
Okay, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'll be on. I don't exactly have the topic yet for the show, but it'll be a good time.
Great. Constantine, what about you, buddy?
I'm going to be on, well, if nothing else, I'm going to be on here in about a week at this time. And by the way, I'd like to thank all of you coming in. Thank you for coming in, Jay. Thank you for coming in for ABC, for making the natives restless. And it was certainly a pleasure to get you both to come and speak to me and kind of bail me out here because it's, you know, it's kind of hard to talk here by yourself, especially I didn't realize I was going to have to do this second hour.
Yeah,
so
sorry. There was a little,
I certainly
little,
appreciate it.
Yeah, there was some miscommunication between you and I. Yeah, that's great. Constantine, I might be calling on you during the middle of the week or Monday or Wednesday to cover that 3 o'clock spot, but we'll see how things go.
All right. Well, let me finish all these things up and let me finish off my shift. I think I'm a big boy. I can handle it now. So let me do my outro and I'll talk to you all later.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, sir. Well, that was Constantine for Abilene, ABC, and, of course, Mr. J. I encourage you to check out their programs. He's got one. Both of them have one. Who's crazy and who's nuts? Something like that. I can't remember exactly. But sounds like a pretty good show. I've enjoyed it. And here goes my outro, and thanks for calling in and making the natives restless. Bye bye, everybody.
I live in a world of iron. I wish it to be a world of gold. So I must have a heart.
And just remember, like you know, everybody's watching. Night-night, folks.